Let us read the Word of God together and then ask God for His blessing. We read from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 66. I ask that we stand up while we read the Word. Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye should build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things has mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Up to here, this word of God. Let us worship together. Faithful God, we thank you again from the depths of our hearts for this day of grace and for this evening, for this hour. Lord, we know that you created the heavens and that everything visible and invisible came into being through your omnipotent word. We worship you and praise your glorious name. You have power in heaven and on earth. You have power over people, over nations. You are above all, O Lord. We are your people and worship you tonight and ask you together for your blessing, for your strength, for your help. Please speak to us through your precious and holy word. O Lord, take everything away that is not pleasing to you from our midst, from our hearts. You know our hearts, and we have read that you look on those who are humble and of a contrite spirit. Lord, you know our hearts, you know our thoughts. Nothing is hidden from you, Lord. But we want to be blessed anew by you tonight. And bless with us all your people, everywhere, in all places, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks be to the Lord for the grace and privilege that we can be here again to worship and offer the thanks due to the Lord. We are all saddened by the death of Brother Bukowski. I see that the relatives are here. We share with you the sorrow on the one hand and the joy on the other, because we have the certainty that he is with the Lord. These are not pious words. These are not empty words. This is a divine fact. No one who has put their trust in the Lord will be put to shame. We have known each other for many years, even from ancient times. And when I think of the brothers who served in Bremen after the Second World War, Brother Bergholz, Brother Mittelstädt, and whoever they all were, but there was one among them who found his way unto the streets, who took his guitar, who testified, who sang and played to the glory of the Lord. He may not have been in front often, but he knew who he believed in, and he knew that he had to bear witness to what God had done in his life. And I believe that blessing has been left behind. We all have to go. All the prophets came and went. The greatest of them were taken home. The day is coming when we will be united forever. And that will be the most beautiful day. A songwriter sings, "That was the most beautiful day God ever gave me, when Jesus came into my dark earthly existence." But the second most beautiful day will probably be when we see our Lord face to face. He first loved us, and we love Him. Earth is reality. Heaven is reality. Life on earth is reality. Life in heaven is reality. God is God, and we have read, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." God fills the whole universe. In the last few days, I have given space to a thought that moved me very much. And I said, "Lord, it's been a long time since people have heard anything from you." Anyone can talk about God one way or another, discuss, express opinions, but that someone could testify, God has spoken, God has revealed Himself, He has given His word, He has made Himself known. And a longing arose in me that God could once again speak unequivocally and make an offer of grace to humanity. I said it to myself a few times as I walked up and down my room, "Lord, will you be silent until your judgment comes, or will you speak again before then?" We know that God speaks in many ways, through His Word, through His Spirit. He can also speak to us through the death of our beloved brother. He can remind us that our hour is also coming. The Spirit of God can convince us, convict us, and make us realize what happened on Golgotha, so that we recognize the plan of salvation of our God with us, not without us, with us. And that is the important thing. There are enough people who write about God's plan and preach about it. The question is whether we ourselves have become a part of this divine plan, a part of the Church of the Firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. Whether we are not just listeners or spectators, but partakers of what God has prepared for us. And may the Lord grant this to me and to all of us by grace. And let it fall as a gift, not only into our laps, but into our hearts. What a privilege that we may believe. Believe as the scriptures say. And if we follow the course of church history, there were always people whom God could address, who were prepared to move forward spiritually, who favored progress rather than stagnation. In earthly terms, most people chose progress. They did not stay with horse and cart as in the old days, but travel by car, fly. They have chosen progress. They have moved with the times. But how many have not moved with the times and with God spiritually, but have stood still, some at the Reformation, others afterwards, and again, after every beginning came a development, and then a standstill. After the standstill, there was a decline, and spiritual life was lost, and God always started again, and we are not ashamed to say that we believe from the bottom of our hearts that God is purposefully walking the path with His church to the end, and we believe that the return of the Lord is very near, and that the church must and will be restored to its original state without any compromise. And we can testify that our beloved brother Bukowski, whose prayers we will remember for a long time to come, he was sitting roughly where you are sitting as a family tonight, always here to my left. But when it came to prayer, he was the one who was compelled to pray. And we all rejoiced and prayed with him. He can now see what he believed. Many have gone before us, and soon we will all be home. Then will be fulfilled what no eye has seen and no ear has heard. God has prepared for those who love Him. And when we have recognized that God has loved us dearly, how can we do otherwise than love Him in return from the heart? And He says, whoever loves me will keep my word. And so may God grant us grace that this love can truly be revealed in us and through us. Anyone can love with words. Anyone can serve the Lord with words. But not everyone can do so in deed and in truth. And we are honest enough to say, we cannot do it of ourselves either. But we can say with Paul, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me, who makes me strong, and that is Christ. Left to ourselves, we are the most miserable there can be. Trusting in the Lord, we are more than conquerors, victors, through the victor of Calvary. What a privilege! What a grace! I have no special word tonight. I would just like to join and perhaps read two or three words that might fit. You know, I'm usually only prepared for the first weekend here, which means I always expect to be here on the first weekend. Now I've come back unexpectedly and am flying again tomorrow afternoon. Let me read a little further from the book of Acts, following on from the word that Stephen quoted in his sermon from the prophet Isaiah 66, which has just been read to us. Acts 7 from verse 46. Here it speaks of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has not my hand made all these things? And now it comes. Right after that, Stephen realized that the people did not understand what God had in mind for them, that he wanted to take dwelling in their hearts, that he wanted to pardon them, that he wanted to save them. And just after this word from the prophet Isaiah, he saw the reaction and then bursts out with a thought, Oh, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. A very serious word. I wasn't planning to read it, but it does belong in the context of the word that was read in the opening word from the prophet Isaiah. God wants to dwell, but God is a living God. How can he dwell in a dead building as a living God? He needs something living, something moving, something that can feel. He needs people. He needs you and me. He wants to take dwelling in our hearts through faith. David wanted to build a house for the Lord, and God said, No, not you. Let your son do it. And then came the answer, But God does not dwell in a house built by human hands. God dwells in your heart and mine by faith. Hallelujah. That is reality. God dwells in your heart and in mine by faith. Not in these four walls, but in your heart and mine. When Stephen realized that the people had their temple and thought that this is the house of God and God dwells there, and they were doing what they wanted in this house of God, selling and trading, until the Lord came in, overturned the tables, and struck them, saying, You have made my house a den of thieves. God wants to take dwelling in your heart and mine. But he wants to clean up first. The idea of rest has also been expressed. Where is the place where I can rest? I have to think of two examples. The first, in the days of Noah, there was the flood, and Noah let out a dove. It found no place to rest. It came back. It knew where it belonged. Noah let the raven out, never to be seen again. It was off and away. When our Lord was baptized in the Jordan, the heavens opened, and a dove, or the Spirit, descended like a dove, and then the voice, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God is looking for people in whom He can be pleased, people in whom He can take dwelling. And the other word from the letter to the Hebrews, "There remaineth a rest to the people of God." In the midst of all unrest, in the midst of all turmoil, in the midst of all hatred, in the midst of all strife, in the midst of all that is on earth, and we do not walk through this world with blinders on, we are right in the middle of it. But our Lord says in the Gospel of John, in chapter 17, "Ye are in this world, but not of this world, just as I am not of this world." There are people in this world who do not belong in this world, who are destined to be with God for eternity. And these people have been pardoned, have received eternal life. They have accepted God's offer of grace for themselves personally as a gift. And the call still goes out today. I believe one thing, and I'm truly sorry that I cannot come to the city of Bremen because of my commitments. I'm truly sorry, and I wish I could be there. For I am aware of one thing, that many prayers of our beloved brother have ascended to the throne of God. And God hears prayer, and we can rely on that. And you can count on the Lord's hand resting on you, and that God's blessing will come to all those who are willing to open their hearts and receive the blessing. Even the greatest and most valuable gift that someone wants to give must be accepted by the person concerned. A gift that is not accepted remains in the possession of the person who wanted to give it. Let us accept, let us receive, let us allow ourselves to be gifted by the Lord God. There is another word of Abraham on my heart that I thought of just before the service, from Genesis chapter 14. I read it during the day, and it came back to me this evening. Genesis 14, from verse 18. "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand." Here is a thought that has become very great to me. Melchizedek, the king of Salem, went to meet Abraham. He had bread and wine, a reference to the Lord's Supper, bread and wine. It was after the battle. The enemies had been defeated. Abraham had triumphed with God, and the Lord came to meet him. People have spoken and written a lot about this scripture, describing the king of Salem as everything but what he was. And who was the king of Salem? The Lord himself. I'll read it to you from the Holy Scriptures. In Hebrews chapter 7 it says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him." Who can bless but the Lord God alone? "And blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all." First, being by interpretation king of righteousness. Is there a man who is called the king of righteousness? No, there have been kings, Solomon, David, there were great kings, but only one is king of righteousness. And here it says, first, being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Salem, Jerusalem, the king of kings, met Abraham and blessed him, saying, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." But he came in his role as priest. We see the Lord as high priest in the New Testament. We see him in many different ways. Let me read on, so that no question remains unanswered. Verse 3, "Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life." Is there a king who has no father and no mother, no line of ancestors, whose family tree cannot be traced somewhere? The greatest king, David and Solomon, you can trace their family tree. Here is one of whom it is said, "Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life." Hallelujah. Praise be to God. We do not need to puzzle. It is enough if we let God's word speak to us. In the Old Testament, the Lord had not yet come in the flesh, had not yet been revealed as the Son of God. No father, no mother, no beginning and no end. Then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the revelation of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you only read the passage from the Old Testament, then it makes sense to imagine that there was a king in Jerusalem, and he came then to Abraham, brought bread and wine, and blessed him. And how wonderful that we can always take both the Old and the New Testament. Once that has been transfigured and revealed to you by the Spirit, it's done for you forever. The answer we need for the Old Testament is in the New, and the answer we need for the New is in the Old. This is such a completion that only God could give by grace. Listen to it again. First, being by interpretation, and we are not interpreting that now. It is in the Holy Scriptures, and we are grateful for that. King of righteousness, and after that also King of Salem, which is King of Peace. Only He who is Himself the Prince of Peace, who is Himself the King, of whom it is written in Matthew, "Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand." And He was asked, "Art thou a king then?" And He said, "Yes, I am. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." We are not fanatics, at least I hope so. We are people who stand with both feet in life, but who thank God with our hearts for what He has done for us and for many others who have been saved. And we believe that God will still do great things. How wonderful that the answer continues. He has no father, no mother, no descent, neither beginning of days, nor end of life. How marvelous! Our Lord, who had no beginning, but who was revealed in the beginning, and then spoke and worked throughout the Old Testament until He became flesh and was revealed in human form in order to bring us humans back into the divine state. That is the whole secret. God wanted to make children of God out of children of men, and that is why He had to be revealed in human form in His Son, Jesus Christ. Back to this thought that the Lord God comes to meet us, and He does not come empty-handed. He does not come empty-handed. He wants to sup with us. Isn't that what we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 3? Perhaps we will open it. Revelation. It should be in chapter 3, where it says, "I will come to Him and sup with Him." Revelation. Have you found it? Verse 20. Revelation 3, verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Abraham heard the call of the Lord God, left everything, and obediently walked in faith on the path he had to take. The Lord met him, not with empty hands. The Lord gave him the victory, and he supped with him. The New Testament tells us very clearly, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Our heart's door is not opened from the outside, it is opened from the inside. There is no handle on the outside. It must come from within. It must come from you, worked by the Spirit of God. God does not grab and open by force. God speaks. The Spirit of God admonishes. He knocks. You must open up. I must open up. You must say yes. I must say yes. And we may say, Lord, it is toward evening. Abide with us. Luke 24. And what happened when the Lord abode with these disciples who were on their way to Emmaus? He broke the bread. He supped with them. And the Holy Scripture says, and they recognized him. We recognize the Lord not by much religious fuss, but by the fact that he breaks the bread of life for us, that he feeds and waters us, that he has fellowship with us, that he comes to meet us, and not with empty hands, not with empty words, not with empty promises, but with divine promises, with full words, with a full gospel, that he has not only offered us, but that he has given us. And the believer has already been given access. The Lord says, go out into the highways, to the hedges and to the fences, and tell the people, all things are ready. Come to the marriage supper. What marvelous thoughts. What a wonderful correspondence of the Word. There the Lord comes to meet Abraham. Here the Lord knocks and says, behold, I stand at the door. Whoever hears my voice and opens the door, it is both. He speaks and he knocks. Both are written here. I would like to read it again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. And what does the Lord say in John 10? My sheep hear my voice. They not only hear the knocking, they also hear the voice. Hallelujah, praise be to God. They hear the knocking. And then they notice. They open. And then they hear his voice. Is that your experience? Is that my experience? Have you experienced it? Have I experienced it? Have we not experienced often enough that the Lord has met us with full hands? Have we not often experienced that he has blessed us and broken the bread of life? Praise be to our God. He is still the same today. The God of Abraham is our God. He speaks, he knocks, he is at work. What a marvelous word. And the disciples at Emmaus, they said, Lord, come to us, come in, for it is toward evening. And he went in and supped with them. And then again the connection to Matthew 22. Go and invite whom you find, and tell the people, the marriage supper is prepared. The Lord invites you. A songwriter sings, listen, your Savior invites you. Come and see. The wedding feast is ready. Come, come and see. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open, the opening is up to us, not him, us. Let's keep that in mind, for thus it is written, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I ask you tonight, whose voice do we hear tonight? Do we hear the voice of Brother Rus, Brother Frank, Brother Bukowski, or Brother Schmidt, or anyone else? Whose voice do we hear? Do we hear God speaking to us through His Word? Do we hear God from His Word? Then blessed are we. Then blessed are we. And anyone who really hears the Word of God properly realizes that it is not the preacher, not the evangelist, it is the Lord who is speaking to us. And the disciples said back then, were not our hearts burning as He talked with us on the way? I tell you, our hearts are burning because He is still talking to us. And we may open up. Man must realize that God is not interested in any building. Perhaps that was also the reason why we built so primitively. We just wanted a place where we could gather, a roof over our heads. God does not dwell in palaces, not on golden altars. God dwells in your heart and in mine. Let not the outward adornment be our adornment, but let the inward man adorn himself with a gentle and beautiful nature, which is acceptable in the sight of God. Have we heard His knocking? Have we realized that He is coming to meet us? Not with empty hands, not with empty promises, not with promises He would pass by. No, our God keeps His promises. The heaven will fall before His word deceives me, as the song goes. We can still rely on God and God's word in the 20th century. You can rely on that. Praise and thanks be to our God. When it says in Romans 3, every man is a liar, but God is true, then it is still true. It is still true. God remains true. Stephen had to say in his sermon, oh, you stiff-necked, you resist the Holy Spirit. You do not respond to His warning. You ignore the knocking. And He says, as your fathers did, so do you. There is nothing worse than the fact that a person is addressed by God and throws God's words to the wind and goes on his own way. And God speaks to every person two or three times in this or that way, as Job writes in his letters. Today, God speaks to us. He comes to meet us, to sup with us. He talks to us. He blesses us. He blessed Abraham. He brought bread and wine, symbols for the Lord's Supper, bread and wine. And then he blessed him mightily and said, Abraham, blessed be thou from the Most High God, who created heaven and earth. May God, this Almighty God, who bends down to us miserable people, may it please him to bless us today, to bless us in such a way that we feel it. And I think we have realized that the Spirit of God is speaking to us today, to me and to you. The Lord is coming to meet you and me tonight. You and I are to have an encounter with the Lord today. And he is not coming empty-handed. He is not coming empty-handed. He has something to offer. Every time we meet the Lord, he has always had something to give us. We hear his knocking and we ask him to come in. We hear his voice, the voice of his word. There are many voices on earth, but this is his voice. And he said, my sheep hear my voice. May the words we have looked at tonight in all simplicity be used and blessed by God for us to have our encounter with the Lord at all costs. We say, faithful God, what a privilege that you still speak to us. What a privilege that we may believe as the scriptures have said. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. May the story of Abraham be your story and mine. The experience he had be your experience and mine. Anyone who knows the letter to the Galatians knows, as well as the letter to the Romans, that Abraham was described as the father of faith, to whom God gave the promise. We who are of faith have received the promises of God. The Lord also comes to meet us tonight, to bless us, and to be with us. Blessed be his name. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your precious and holy word. It is still alive today. It is effective. It is powerful. It penetrates, it divides soul and spirit, marrow and bone. Beloved Lord, sometimes you speak in a gentle and quiet way, and yet powerfully and forcefully, like a friend speaking to his friend. You do not shout at us. You speak to us in love. Oh, we thank you for this. And we praise your holy name. Lord, we know some whom you have blessed and used. and we are grateful for the blessings you have given and bestowed upon us through our beloved brother, whom you have called home. Lord, I pray for his whole house today. He was only human, just like we are. And I pray for all relatives, if they have seen weaknesses or infirmities in our brother's life, may they look past them, because we are all human. We are all human. When we see our weaknesses and infirmities, we forget about those of others. You say, "Who is the Son of Man, and the man that you have mercy on him?" What are we? Failures, wretched creatures who have been pardoned. I pray you, beloved Savior, that the whole house may know that you are merciful to whom you are merciful, and that you have compassion on whom you have compassion, regardless of what we are. Savior, we thank you that you have spoken to us today, that you have come to meet us. O Lord, we would never have found you if you had not found us. We would never have been able to talk to you if you had not spoken to us. We could have never supped with you if you had not supped with us. O Lord, we stand before you with grateful hearts. Heaven is your throne, and the earth is your footstool, and our hearts the place where you dwell. Hallelujah. We cannot grasp it, and yet we have experienced it, and thank you from the bottom of our souls. It is reality. It is true. Experienced truth. You have come in and took dwelling. Now take everything that is not pleasing to you out of us. Cleanse us and sanctify us. Make us into vessels that you can fill, bless, use, and give as a blessing. We have one more request, beloved Lord. May you speak to humanity once more before the judgment. Please, Lord, don't wait until the judgment, when it will be too late. Speak today, for today, when we hear your voice, we will not harden our hearts. You have knocked, we have heard. You have spoken, we have believed. We thank you for it. Beloved Savior, bless with us all your worshipping people, your blood-bought multitude throughout the earth, and may it please you not only to show us mercy, but to be merciful, so that we may also show mercy to one another, forgiving one another as you have forgiven us. Love one another as you have loved us. Beloved Savior, do it all for the glory of thy name. Amen.